going to take the census here, Mr. Chair.
You have welcome, your new, Doug.
Newest planning commissioner joining.
And we've started the recording.
So the way this meeting will work, Mr. Chair, is similar to the comp plan amendment hearing. Catherine will be the principal presenter. I'll work through the agenda with you as we hit the appropriate subjects. But when we're dealing with the primary new business agenda item, that will be Catherine. And then I in the background will be watching for people that join or need to join and be let into the meeting or whatever. So we're going to kind of tag team. I've got authority on the, they've transferred me power. So both here and at community development, we either one of us can run the Zoom. So I don't anticipate any problems. We've gotten pretty good at running these, but if we do, one side of the table, we'll figure it out.
Excellent. Thank you, Jim. So I'll call this meeting to order. Good evening. Today is Wednesday, January 27th, 2021. I'd like to call the Planning Commission to order. I'd like to note, due to the Governor's Proclamation 20-28, the Planning Commission will hold the regularly scheduled meetings via Zoom conference until further notice. At this time, I'd like to do a roll call. Vicki Malloy. Vicki's here. Will Wiggs.
Present. James. Present.
Ryan Kelso, I'm here. Jim Newberry, I believe, is absent at the moment. Ed Martinez.
Here.
Joel Walensky.
Here.
Carl Blum.
Here.
Pat Hammersmith.
Here.
And Doug England, our newest member.
Here.
Thank you for joining us, Doug. On to administrative items. The first item we have is our annual electing a chair and vice chair to continue for this 2021 cycle. And as such, I'll start out asking if there's anyone that would either like to run in those positions or if anyone would like to nominate someone for one of those positions.
I nominate Ryan Kelso.
Okay, go ahead.
Oh, sorry, Vicki. I nominate Ryan Kelso for chair.
Second.
I'm gonna pass this year on that. I could help in a supportive role, but I'd like to nominate Carl if Carl would be up to doing that, running as chair.
I second that.
Is there any discussion?
I will be up for it if everyone votes that way.
All right. So we have a motion for Carl to be chair. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Is there anyone opposed? Next, we have for vice chair. There's a nomination out there that someone would like to put, or anyone that would on the board that would like to assist Carl.
Vicki, are you up for this?
I would love to be vice chair because I think I'm the person that's going to go out next, having served several terms. So I would love to.
I will nominate Vicki Malloy for the vice chair position.
I will second.
So we got a first by Carl and a second by Ed. Any discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Vicki will be the vice chair, and Carl's been elected to chair.
I'll update the website Planning Commission page, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Jim.
And Mr. Chair.
So I'll finish out tonight's meeting for you, Carl, and then you can take over next meeting in February. So next item we have on our agenda is the meeting minutes, the review and approval from December 16th meeting. Has everyone had an opportunity to review through those and see if there's any errors or omissions that need to be addressed? And if there is or is not, a motion for a...
I'll make a motion to approve those minutes.
So we had a first by Joel. Is there a second for approval?
I second Vicki Malloy.
A second by Vicki and a first by Joel. Any discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Is there anyone that opposes? Okay, motion carries. Board meeting or board minutes from December 16th, 2020 meeting are approved. Next on our agenda, we have a public comment period. So if there's a member of the public that would like to discuss something that is not on tonight's agenda, you may do so at this time. If you go to the bottom of your screen, there's a little thing that says participants. And if you click on it, another window will pop up and you can do a raise hand, or it's down there at the bottom of the screen. If there's somebody in the public that would like to bring up an item, please go to the bottom of the screen and click the raise hand so that we know that you would like to bring up an item that's not on tonight's agenda. Seeing none, we will move forward to old business, which we have none. Therefore,
Mr. Chair?
Yes.
Late kind of walk-on item for the old business, if I may. It'd take me about 2 minutes here.
Go right ahead.
So as maybe not all the planning commissioners, because several of the newer commissioners may not have been participating when this occurred, but sure you all that were recall back when we did the critical areas ordinance, tried to run it through the first time last, it was like an eon ago, but it was sometime summer or fall. And we decided to pull that back and put it into a technical advisory committee, of which Commissioner Malloy has been participating in. And we're nearing completion of that process and planning to bring it back to the Planning Commission for a workshop at your next meeting at the end of February. So that's fine, that'll be on your agenda. But I'm flagging it because of two things. We have a couple of other things we need to do that same night that are going to lead into that. We're gonna stack things, but we're gonna work with you to make sure we follow a tight schedule on that. So only about an hour of that 2 hour meeting will be the workshop, and it's not gonna be enough. And we're up against a couple of timelines on some really big issues, including that and a Shoreline Master Program update that's coming not far behind it on its heels, some other issues we've got going on. And so I'm just parking this right now for discussion at the next Planning Commission meeting, but I'm gonna ask if you would be willing or be thinking about being willing to having an extra meeting early or mid March to have basically what would hopefully be a final workshop of the revised critical areas ordinance before having a hearing at the regular at the end of March. That would allow you to get it to the Board of Commissioners, assuming you decided and accepted or adopted, get it to the Board of Commissioners in the following month, because against the timeline with ecology, and it affects some grants that we have available that we've gotten them to extend, and it's kind of like a drop dead thing. And there are public works grants that we need to get. So I don't want to spend too much time getting in the weeds on this. I'm teeing it up right here, but it was old business because it had been in front of the Planning Commission, and we had such a, my words, train wreck with how we presented it, that we pulled it back and are doing a do-over. So anyway, I wanted you to be aware of that. We can take it up with you at the next Planning Commission meeting. You'll see it on the agenda, and I'll have it teed up in the cover memo.
Thank you for the information, Jim.
That's all I have.
Now, are we going to decide tonight what date works for us for a second meeting? Or are we going to discuss whether we want to have a second meeting or not?
Since it's not on the agenda, I would suggest maybe you just think about it. Maybe start looking at your calendars now and then bring in, we will make sure it's on the agenda for next time and then actually decide at that meeting, unless the board feels, excuse me, the commission feels differently. I would just suggest, I'm dropping this in your lap on short notice, and nine people are busy people with busy schedules, and I don't want to just drop it on you like that.
So when would that draft be put out to us?
So the draft will come out in your commission packet about the 14th of February. That's when it's due to come out. We have our final technical advisory committee meeting on the 4th, which Vicki will be part of. We think it's going to be cooked good enough to come to you now. We've done some not huge edits over what you saw before, but we've done a better job of explaining it, putting it together, as well as actually tailoring some things to, I think, be better for the citizens of Chelan County at the same time meeting the requirements. Yeah. So I'd expect to see it around the 14th of February.
Jim, you talked about three items. Is that right?
No, there's actually more. There's the there's jihad, AHAT. There's a habitat piece. There's a geologic piece. There's a aquifer recharge piece. There's a general rules piece.
Oh, wow.
So there's like four, but some of it is already in code. It's a refinement of what we already have. The only one that really got totally tossed on its ear was the wildlife version, which also, by the way, tends to be the most contentious one in any jurisdiction. So you're not going to be ready to have a hearing and make a decision at the end of the February meeting. That's why February is a 1-hour workshop. We would hope to have a 2-hour workshop sometime early to mid-March and then have the hearing end of March, and if you're comfortable with deciding at that point, fine. If not, we take it from there and decide what's next. But there's just really no way with the aggressive schedule that we've had of issues that are really tight to do this on a way that's going to make you comfortable if we don't jam an extra meeting in there somewhere so you can digest it.
Yeah, I think the shoreline one in particular will be very important for my area. I mean, I'm on Lake Wenatchee, and then we already have meetings here, community meetings about the shoreline document. So it would be, and you're saying that'll be ready on the 14th, right?
No. Shoreline Master Program is a different process that will be coming a couple months behind it. This is the Critical Areas Ordinance. Now, the two interact, the two codes interact in some ways. But basically, Shoreline Master Program is not an entire Shoreline Master Program. If you recall, Mike Caputa, I think, he hasn't done this one yet. That's one of the things we're going to do at your next meeting that's taking up the first hour, is you're going to get a primer on the updates for the SMP and one other topic that just for the moment escapes me. And then you'll have an hour of Critical Areas Ordinance. And it's just to tee it up for you on the SMP that it's out there and it's coming. So you know what it is, but it's not we just went through the SMP in 2017. So it's not a complete revision of the Shoreline Master Program. It's just required updates.
So okay.
Really straightforward. It's been running through its own public process, getting ready. It's had public outreach. We had a grant. You'll find out next month what's occurred to date. That's the whole idea, is to just set the table for you, not with the actual updates, but the process that's gone on, so you have an understanding of where it's been. Because much like Critical Areas Ordinance, we did a lousy job last time of laying it out for the Planning Commission, not only what the ask was, but what had been done beforehand. And it just totally, I'm acknowledging, it totally blew up. And so we're trying not to repeat that scenario with both the Critical Areas Ordinance and the SMP by getting things teed up for you properly so you know what to expect in advance before you get it.
Okay, thanks.
So With that, we will move forward to new business, which we've got a hearing for CPA 20-009 CIP text amendments. And I'd like to turn things over to Catherine to review with us.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Good evening, commissioners. Thank you for having me. Catherine Lorbeer, Assistant Director.
Hi, Catherine.
Good evening. So I do have a brief PowerPoint to share. This is a public hearing for a proposed comprehensive plan amendment, and you are going to be asked to make a recommendation to the Board of County Commission. So once, now that the public hearing has been opened, I'll just give you a brief overview. So I just need to share my screen here for a moment. So I hope you all can see the first slide.
Yes.
Okay, great. So this proposal involves a text amendment, and it was initiated by Chelan County, and it involves the update to our six-year capital improvements plan. So as you know, the comprehensive plan is our long-term vision for future land uses and development. And it does include a capital facilities element, and this is a mandatory element in our comprehensive plan, and we use it to estimate capital facility needs for the next 20 years. So because public investments are often multi-year projects and they involve a significant amount of investment, we do a capital improvement plan so that we can list out these expenditures and their sources of funding. And it really helps us be more efficient by prioritizing these capital projects over a longer time period. So in your packet, I believe it's on page 25, you should see where the table for the CIP starts. And I just wanted to talk briefly about the criteria. Text amendments are a little bit different. So where you need to decide if it addresses a public land use issue or problem, whether the amendment is consistent with the Growth Management Act, and also that it supports our comprehensive plan goals and policies, that the amendment does not adversely affect lands designated as resource lands of long-term commercial significance, and that the amendment would serve the public interest. So in this updated CIP, you'll see changes to the timing and cost for projects. There were also some 2020 projects that were moved into future years. Either it was because they hadn't been completed or they just were determined not to be a priority. There were some projects that have dropped off the list, so they're no longer listed. And then there was also an update to the Kashmir Dryden Airport layout plan. So Kathy Mulhall is the county's administrator, and she is the one who reviews these projects and determines that the costs can be covered by various funding sources, which you'll see in the CIP spreadsheet. So she is on hand this evening to offer any more background if you like. So Kathy, if you're unmuted, I don't know if the commissioners have any questions for you.
This is
go ahead,
Carl Blum. Yeah, I do have just a few questions. One is the where it says rural county tax funds. Is that the sales tax that portion that goes to the rural counties that has to can only be used on items that are listed in the comprehensive plan? Is that correct?
That is correct.
Okay. What is the local option tax? I couldn't figure that out anywhere.
Well, that is actually also part of the rural counties tax. Back when we first started with the rural counties tax, it was called we used to call it 0.04 monies. It had a whole bunch of different names as the years went on. And when it started out, we created a program with the porch that was called the local option tax program. And we did community-wide grants. And then we did a bond to pay for those grants against that funding source, which we now know as the Rural Counties Tax Fund.
Okay. I think it was under the commissioner's office, but I don't remember exactly. There was bonds were listed, and I think it was just, let me look. It wasn't the tech bond service. Where was it? Somewhere it was just listed bonds, I think. But, or maybe it was, no, it wasn't the tech bond service.
Well, there's a...
Exactly. I was curious if that's just servicing of the bond, of some bond.
It is just the bond payments. We list out all of the bond payments that we have, that we, especially the ones that have the Rural Counties Tax Fund as the paying source.
Okay. And then the only other question I had was under the public works piece was Totem Pole Road. Can I assume that's Totem Pole Road, P-O-L-E, and is that the Totem Pole Road in the Manson area?
Yes. Did they? And, yeah, they forgot an E.
Well, that's all right. I mean, I'm not being picky about grammar or punctuation. I just want to make sure we're talking the same thing. Can you tell us exactly what, or not exactly, but generally what that is?
Actually, other than it's a redoing of that roadway or the upgrade of that roadway, I don't have any additional information. Doug probably does.
Carl, that is the road that leads down from the school, and there's an attempt to, with Safe Routes to School, is to get monies to
sidewalk
in there. It used to be the kids used to walk downtown, and now deliver everybody even within eyesight of the school. And so widen that road. It's hopeful that eventually that will be able to tie into a stormwater system, and it will help reduce some of that. But that is all part of that.
Okay, good. Thanks very much. I was really hoping that's exactly what it was. Thank you. I'm done.
I have a few questions. I'm just wondering, are there any overruns or delayed schedules from previous budgets that are on this budget, and how are they highlighted?
There are not overruns from previous budgets on the schedule at all. I mean, we don't have any projects that are ongoing that we have had to increase the values of. Sometimes we have some of these projects, I mean, this is just a plan at this point, depending on how our resources, mainly personnel that we can apply to these projects, you know, they may or may not get done in 2021.
I see.
Dollar resources are there, but sometimes the personnel resources are not. So we do move items from one year to the next if they weren't. Most of the time, it's just that either the project wasn't started is the issue, that it didn't get started in 2020, so it was moved to 2021. Or if we assumed we had something else going that was more important in 2021, it may have been moved to 22 or 23.
And those budget numbers have not changed from previous numbers, is that right? Or nor the sources?
That's correct.
One other question. Just a point of clarification. I noticed that you do say 2021 through 2026, and this is my first budget thing, but with this group at least. But not all of them are filled in, right? And as a matter of fact, some are just like natural resources all left blank. And then I found the sheriff kind of curious. I thought maybe you were taking defund the police a little too literally.
Yeah. This is just for capital projects. So, and capitals for this, they have to be above 25,000. And they have to be coming from one of these funding sources or thought of as a capital funding source. So, So obviously the sheriff's office still functions and pays salaries and wages and cars and all those kinds of things. But unless they're doing something big, like they are in this plan, which is the new emergency management center that we're working with the remodel at the college. They're going to be putting a new EOC in there, and that's what the sheriff's.
But we can expect to see this every year, adjustments and things like that. Is that correct?
Yeah. Yes.
Okay. Okay.
It's an annual adjustment as we add a year. And this plan, it gets sent out, you know, to all our departments, and some of them don't plan out 6 years. And so it's, you'll see blanks in future years, and next year they will likely fill out a year or two beyond where they are this year.
Okay,
but
thank
you. But this is something we're working on implementing and actually making it a more user-friendly and usable document, which we really haven't in years past.
Thank you.
I have a question. Capital projects such as, are we still working towards either purchasing or changing some of the buildings owned by the county to address the homeless issue or substance abuse or anything like that? Is that included in this?
It is not included as of yet. Once there actually is some plan in place that involves a county facility, then it would enter the plan. But I know that there's a lot of discussions on the homeless task force about putting together a facility for is a low barrier shelter, and you know, and where that would be. And then the discussion would be who owns it and where does the money come to fund it. And right now, none of the funding sources that we have listed here have been tapped to work on any of those types of projects currently. But
thank
and
you.
It may, right now we contract with the city of Wenatchee to work through our homeless dollars. So we send them to the city of Wenatchee. We have an interlocal agreement. So it's more likely that it would show up on the city of Wenatchee's comprehensive plan rather than Chelan County's.
I see. Well, thank you.
Kathy, under sources of funds under each of the categories, what is there, it's listed as capital improvements, RET 1 fund, and then there is also a RET 2 fund.
REIT.
Yeah, and it's, we call it REIT, R-E-T, real estate excise tax. So we have those are the first, there's a 0.25% that is what we call REIT 1, and then there's a second 0.25% that was added that we call REIT 2. And if you read the statutes on both of those, there's different uses that they can be used for, depending. REIT 1 is less restrictive than REIT 2 is. So REIT 2 is really for infrastructure, but also for parks. And REIT 1 can be used for basically all capital improvements. So
that's why the parks went to Omi Gardens.
Yeah.
Thank you. Any other questions for?
Yeah, I have a question. Just Kathy, good to see you again. But I was wondering, can you kind of give us an update on with the pandemic? And we have the REIT 1, the REIT 2, and all other funding sources for the county, just in terms of how's it going?
Actually, because our housing market has stayed so strong, REIT 1 and REIT 2 are like I said, real estate excise taxes. So as we still continue to turn over homes in our real estate market, that still continues to grow. And we've not seen a decline in our excise tax numbers. And, you know, we haven't seen a decline in our sales tax numbers either. They continue to grow in our area. Lodging tax is one of our taxing sources that's actually gone above where we thought they were, they would end up. So overall, I would say we're doing okay right now. COVID related. Where the county is seeing it is not really in these sources, but is more in the court sources where, you know, the courts have not been running. So, I mean, the fines and fees from our courts are way down.
Thank you.
Any other questions for Kathy?
Where are the fines and fees from our courts on this budget as a source of income?
Oh, this is, yeah, they wouldn't be on this at all. That's totally an aside.
Thanks.
Just capital, so building things.
Thank you, Kathy.
You're
Catherine,
welcome.
Want to continue on?
So, Mr. Chairman, staff is recommending approval, and we don't have anything else for you. So if there's any, I don't know if there's any members of the public who would like to speak on this item.
We have one number. I'm not sure whose that is.
I think that's
at the hearing, please open up your participants box, and at the bottom, you should be able to see a raise hand. You go to the bottom of your screen with your cursor and then click the participants, and that'll pull up a white bar that's got all the people that are on the call. And at the bottom of that box, you should see a raise hand.
So any comments from public? I'm not seeing anything.
Me neither.
Is that 0404? Is that Jim Newberry, or who is that?
That's Jim Newberry, yes.
Oh, okay. Well.
Present.
Thank you, Jim. So, all right. So, being that we do not have any public that I can tell in here with us, I'll close the public portion of it, and any further discussion amongst Planning Commission?
Mr. Chairman, I would move to approve.
We have a first from Doug for approval.
I'll second that.
Second from Carl and from Joel. Is there any further discussion? All those in favor of approval of, let's see how it's written here. All of those for approval of the comprehensive plan amendment to update the six-year capital improvement plan, CPI, for years 2021 through 2026, given the file number CPA 20-009. Please say aye.
Aye.
And is there's anyone that opposes or disagrees? Please say so. Hearing none, the motion passes, and the comprehensive plans for CPA 20-009 passes. Thank you, Catherine.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and Commissioners.
And so, with that, that's the end of our new business for this evening. I myself do not have any other items to bring up. Is there any items?
Point of clarification, what about the SEPA thing at the end there?
That's a part of this whole thing.
Yeah, I don't think we discussed it though. So and all he approved was really the CPI, not the SEPA notice issuance, right? I mean, it's rather minimal. I'm just basically making sure that we intend to cover that and that that is included in the vote.
I believe that's just supplement documents to show that the due diligence for what was put together.
Right. Wasn't there an addition to it? There's three lined items on the SEPA environmental checklist. Are those not included as additions? It's page 29?
Oops, I'm getting back.
I think that's all part of the CPA 20-009, CIP text amendment. All the documents include a SEPA notification. Non-significant.
We can answer that for you, Ed. Catherine can give you more detail, but that's just supporting documentation showing we did our due diligence under the law to post the proposal under SEPA and seek any public comments. It's just for transparency and completion in the file. It's nothing that the Planning Commission has to rule on. It's a process step that we had to file a SEPA checklist on that and then make a determination as to whether there was significance or not. And that's
okay.
Just a
yeah. Thank you. It's clear now. When I see underline like that, I usually think that it's being added. So that's what I was thinking at that time. So thank you for the clarification, Jim.
Correct, right, Catherine?
Yes, and Mr. Chairman and Commissioners, if I can just mention, we also do a 60-day review with the state, and that is underway right now. So this item will not go to the County Commissioners until that 60-day notice period is complete. So state agencies still have an opportunity to comment.
Okay, say that they do comment. Does it come back to us with any changes?
It would go to the county, Commissioner Malloy, it would go to the county commissioners, and then if they wanted to remand it back to you, they could, or they can handle the matter themselves.
Okay, thank you.
Most frequently for a matter such as this, we either have little comment from agencies or minor comments that may or may not change the proposal, whatever it is, and frequently would just be handled at the Board of Commissioners level. But if it was significant enough that they felt that it did warrant a change or had enough impact potentially legally, it is possible it could be remanded back to you by the Board of Commissioners.
Thank you.
But it can happen.
Okay. Just part of closing out here, just thank you again, Doug, for stepping forward to join us on the Planning Commission after many years of being at the head seat, the head table, I guess, there for running the county. It's been a huge duty that you've served there and an honor that you've continued to stay a participant in working here on the Planning Commission with us.
I just want to say, overall, I am so excited about the Planning Commission this time around. We've got a good person, a great person that's ahead of community development. We've got Catherine, who is right below and is assisting and trying to teach us about things rather than just throw it at us. We've got Doug, who's going to teach us also probably about a procedure. I don't know, but this is exciting to me, and I'm really glad to be a part of it.
And I would just say, Ryan, thank you for your job. It's been a tough, been an interesting year, but appreciate the work that you did and guided through with the Planning Commission.
Problem. Yeah, thanks, Ryan.
Thank you.
Second that.
Yeah, here.
Twice.
Here for Ryan. Reynolds.
Twice through your term, Reynolds. You're like a medal.
So
before we leave, I do have a question for Jim Brown, if you don't mind.
Go ahead, Carl.
Jim, you mentioned in one of the Board of Commissioners meeting that you were hoping to put on the docket this year the review of countywide review of commercial agriculture land and how we change it in various zonings. Is that something we can expect this year since we didn't have enough time last year?
Well, it's up to the Board of Commissioners to adopt the docket. It is item number 23 on the 2020 docket. It was the very last item. We were just talking about this when they had the comp plan amendment hearing this week. And that, of course, came up on the same comp plan amendments that you all were reviewing. And it's been flagged, and we had a specific discussion about that when we revisit the docket for 2021, that will need to be figured out. So I expect the Board of Commissioners to take the issue up, whether they'll direct us to put on for this year or give, being item number 23 didn't look like it was that high a priority. I don't, you know, Doug might know, but it's kind of irrelevant. The bottom line is if they want to keep it on the docket and move it up in priority, that will be their discretion. And if they do, we'll get whatever resources together that we need from a consultant and hopefully have staff that we can assign to it and start working on it. I think it needs to be done. I think everybody in community development that's familiar with the issue now would concur with the members of the Planning Commission that feel that that is an important priority to get our arms around.
You're here.
All right. Thank you again, everyone. If there is a motion for adjournment.
I move we adjourn.
We have a first.
Second from Vicky, by Newberg.
And a second from Jim. Discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
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 Any opposed? Motion carries. Everyone have a wonderful evening and thank you for taking the time to join us this evening.